You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Feels like it's been a little bit since we have come to y'all with just me and Will. I know the last two messages that we've done, we've had guests on with us, and I hope that you all have had a chance to listen to both of those episodes. Both of them were on the topic of forgiveness, but they were completely different stories and testimonies, and so the messages, even though it was over the same matter, they were completely different. And I hope that y'all were encouraged by those messages as we were encouraged to chat with our brother and our sister who joined us for the episodes. So today we are back with y'all. We wanted to give you just kind of a little bit of updates on some things that have been going on. You may have noticed that we have changed our podcast hosting platform. So we are now on Podbean. Originally, when we started, we were using Anchor, and there are a lot of really good things about Anchor. We have really enjoyed it being a free hosting platform, and there are a lot of features that we were able to use and kind of get our feet wet with podcasting. But now we were just looking for a few features that weren't offered there. So that's why we have made the change, and we hope that it has been as seamless for all of you to follow us on Podbean as it has been for us to transition over there. So you can still find us, I believe, on Anchor or on any of the other apps, just like Anchor would put us out on Apple and Google Podcasts and Spotify and all of those. So does Podbean. Also, you can always find us on our blog site. There is a podcast player on the main page, so you can find us there too. And actually, through the analytics that Podbean offers, I've been able to see that we are on a lot of other podcast hosting platforms that we have never even heard of before. So that's been pretty cool. But anyways, that was the first thing we wanted to update. The second thing,
our fellowship.
Yeah, we've been having some really awesome fellowship meetings lately in our home, and we're just super excited to see how the Lord has been working in this area, connecting us with new people locally and just growing us together. So that's another reason why we haven't had as much time to devote to the podcast lately, because we've been spending time in real life with people, ministering and just, you know, studying the word together, digging in with them, having fellowship a few nights a week. And we just couldn't be happier about that. So that's been another exciting, you know, change or update since the last time we did an episode.
So, you know, hey guys, the main focus that we wanted to, whenever we were talking about doing another podcast, is really it was two different things that popped up. One thing that I've noticed lately, and Angela's noticed, of course, you know, when you're talking about the culture that we're having right now, Mother's Day just happened, and because, you know, Mother's Day is really a special day, but thinking about mothers, we're thinking about Roe versus Wade and all this stuff that's going on with the culture of death. And so we really need to, we wanted to talk about that, but we also want to talk about moralism. And I believe they kind of both can tie together, because I see a lot of moralism in the church today and just within society itself. And start saying that, I really, so let's talk about Roe versus Wade. Let's talk about what's going on with that type of atmosphere in our country right now. So the first thing that come to my mind, and the thing that we see, because, you know, we go to Planned Parenthood and we have a ministry that we go out there and we preach and we try to call try to save babies and call people to repentance when we go out there to Planned Parenthood. And right now, what has triggered the United States is that this court case, Roe versus Wade, might get overturned. And we don't know the situation. We don't know if it was, you know, someone on the liberal side, you know, sent it out to stir up the people, because there's going to be a lot of voting, you know, the midterm elections and all that stuff. Or if it was someone conservative sending it out to where it's, hey, look, this is what's about to happen. Let's rejoice.
In case you don't know real quick what he's talking about, if you're listening and you're not in the United States, this court case is going to be like kind of like a case of the century type thing, because abortion has been legal ever since 1973 with Roe versus Wade. And ever since then, they have tried to make it a constitutional matter to say that it's the woman's right to be able to have an abortion, that's a constitutional issue, which it's not. But it has been, ever since then, it's been in law, and we have been going with that as a country, and we have had how many? 63 million
babies.
Murdered here in the United States since then. And the information was leaked, supposedly, that this was looking at being overturned, that the Supreme Court judges have, five of them, I think it is, have voted that they're... Anyway, so it hasn't actually happened yet, but it's been leaked out. And so they say that like never happens, that a court case of this magnitude would actually be leaked to the public unless there was, you know, a reason behind it being leaked. So,
the reason behind it, I believe, is more, has nothing to do with saving babies. I'm just going to say that outright. This is a federal law, or a federal court case that was passed. So this is federal level. Now, if they do overturn this court case and they overturn this, that doesn't mean abortion will be illegal in America. It will go to the individual states. And trust me, people got to kill their babies. It's like, that's just what they have to do. This won't stop killing babies. But see, the left right now, the liberals, are going crazy. And
it's really sad to see, because they're already like rioting and all this stuff nationwide, because they are that compelled to be able to murder their babies.
Yeah, it's that important to
them. It's disgusting.
And it's like people are doing demonstrations of, you know, act like they're having a baby and killing babies out there in front of different places. And so, saying that, what is moralism got to do with this? Well, moralism and especially here in the Western world, and especially here in America, moralism is creeped into the church. And you're like, well, isn't that a good thing to have good morals? It is a good thing to have good morals. I'm going to say that outright, but that's not Christianity. It's not anything to do with how God changes you, because you can have several different religious groups and all agree that murdering babies is bad. You can have Catholics, which are a huge portion of a lot of the people that stand for pro-life, but you have Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and you have you can have atheist groups out there. Moralism does not mean that you're a follower of Jesus. It means that you have morals that God has put in place, but you're not giving the God of the universe credit for it. You're just saying that's what you believe. And so my problem with moralism right now, there's a lot of people out there that are protesting against the left and saying that this is a great thing, that babies are not going to be killed, which it is. But when it comes to the gospel, that is where it separates surrendered life to Jesus versus moralism.
Amen.
Because moralism does not save. There's going to be a lot of moral people in hell.
Yeah.
And we have to go out and make sure that they understand this, that Jesus saves. And when we are changed, when we are supernaturally changed, our mind changes. So morals is not just what changes, it's everything. Yeah. We start hating what God hates, and we love what God loves. And it doesn't stop with abortion. It keeps moving forward to see what Jesus really hates, and we stand with him. Mm-hmm. And when we are pointing someone out of sin into this understanding, we are trying to point them to the gospel of Jesus, not moralistic nature. Because if we just have morals, that has nothing to do with a supernatural life in Jesus. So saying that, am I glad that Roe versus Wade will be turned, if that's the truth? Absolutely. But then again, it doesn't stop there, because people got, what we just said earlier, people have to murder their babies. For whatever reason, they're compelled. And so what we want to do, because it's going to basically be a state-to-state decision on what if Planned Parenthood is going to be active in each society. So when we look at that and we see what it is locally, that's where we still stand on giving the gospel and making sure that babies are not murdered. And when we do this, we can't just talk about good morals. We have to talk about the life-changing of when Jesus saves you. And he creates a new creation. He made a new creation in for us to be in Christ. We're a new creation. So what is the main focus that we are going to look at today is the culture of death is just that. The culture of death is this horrific culture we live in here in America, and that promotes killing of your baby. And not just killing of your baby. It also promotes gender identity issues, where people are promoting, because Planned Parenthood don't just murder your baby, they also will cut the genitals off your baby.
Yeah. They anything to kill what has been made in God's image, right? Because it's a satanic agenda. So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that we are not battling flesh and blood. We are battling the principalities and powers of the darkness that are ruling over this earth right now. They are, I mean, it doesn't take much to look around and see who's in control. The prince of the power of the air is just going crazy on the earth right now. Yes. And we knew that this was going to happen because the word tells us that in these end days, it was going to be as it was in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, which was destroyed completely for exactly what we see happening right now. So what Will said, that is so right. We are in a culture of death, and it is the death of souls. It is the taking of the lives of our children and our grandchildren like never before. Mm-hmm. And when I say taking their lives, I mean it's stealing from them. You know, the thief comes to kill, steal, kill, and destroy, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's starting with the very basic building block. One, let's go ahead and just murder the baby in the womb. Let's exterminate life before it ever even gets a chance to start. But if it does make it through, you know, the baby does end up being born and all that, then let's start indoctrinating and telling our children that, one, they have no intrinsic value of who God has created them to be, male or female. Let's attack their gender, their identity.
It's attacking God because it's saying God messed up.
That's right. And God does not make mistakes, ever.
The identity of a child, when you really think about it, when you look at what a child wants, if we would do that in any other capacity, people would go to prison, because if their child wants to go play out in the street and you are letting that child make that decision because they just really want to go play out in the street, and you let that child make that decision, then you know that child is going to get killed, hurt, maimed. And it's because you let that child.
Well, yeah, that's not being a true parent. No. That's not showing discipline, love, boundaries, you know, providing a healthy example for them. I mean, there are so many ways that for generations now, for decades, we have been, regressing?
Yes.
We've been going backwards because we have gotten further and further away from God. Even in a moral sense, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking about just moralism, morality. I mean, we've taken God out of everything.
And so you can make morality into anything.
Mm-hmm. So it started with a slow fade. Let's remove God from school. Let's mm-hmm. remove God from, you know, all of these different arenas in the public sphere. And now we're to this point. I mean, now we're removing him from the image that he has created in the child, mm-hmm. in the womb. You know, we're just constantly removing him from, you know, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, every covenant and everything that is representative of God, we have destroyed and we have allowed. So let's talk about that a little bit. Our listeners, they listen to us regularly. They understand how we feel about the church system and where we have dropped the ball. But let's talk about that some. How have we as the church allowed, and I know we talked about this on the episode we did with Rebecca mm-hmm. over at One Little Candle.
Yep.
How has the church allowed society to dictate the course that we are taking rather than God?
Yeah.
You know, because it's one thing when it's just the culture. Mm-hmm. We would expect that, right? The pigs just wallow in the mud. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's expected of them. But what about the sheep? What about the church?
Well, this is the sad thing about it is that it hit me a while ago when you were talking about how we were morphing out of the image of God. We're morphing into the image of Satan,
uh-huh.
the Baphomet.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally looking like the Baphomet, male and female, you know, the whole transgender thing. We are looking more like him
right.
and less like God. And the reason why we're doing that is, you was talking about the church,
mm-hmm.
is because we have the church itself, the system itself has adopted the customs of society, of present day. It's no different than whenever you go back in time and you see Rome, you know, the day that Rome, because, you know, Paul had to fight against this
yeah.
back then. You look at Corinth. Corinth was a city that was rampant with pagan worship, prostitution, homosexuality. It was
yeah.
it was rampant.
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun. And he had to address that. In fact, he addressed it in 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see that, it's nothing new under the sun. So what we have done is exactly what Corinth did. They have allowed themselves to let the culture penetrate what God has said he hates. They allowed in.
We've come back full circle.
Full circle. We look just like Israel also. Israel did the same thing. It's human nature.
Right.
Whenever you take see, this is the problem, is that, and the moralism thing, when you just have moralism in the church, you've really have taken the football and punted it. And you shouldn't have. We should have went down the field a little more and tried to make that first down instead of punting. And what we did, we have went and did that because moralism replaces holiness. And understanding that is that we should be seeking after Jesus and looking more about Jesus, not having good morals. Because good morals is going to be something that you can adopt, and it's really up to you what that good morality is. You might
well morality can be less offensive.
It is.
So I think that's where the church has failed, is that they have not taken that hard stance on the gospel, on Jesus being the only way, on repentance of sin being a must,
mm-hmm.
on surrender and change life and sanctification, growing in your walk. All of these, you know, discipleship, so many things that are missing right now because they want to get people in the seats. They want people to come in and then they're kept at just a baby level.
They're kept at a baby level.
It's because being just moral isn't offensive to people, you know? Telling you that you have to cut this stuff off in your life and you have to become a new creation in Christ and it's going to cost you something up to and including your very life, that is a message that will offend.
And that's not moralism. That's surrendered life.
That's right. That's the gospel.
Yes. And so think about it. If you have right now, there's a show that's fixing to be airing. Tyra Banks is hosting it. And if you don't know who she is, just Google her. She was a model. But and had a TV show and all that. But she's doing another show with young kids as drag queens. It's Kitty Drag Queens, and one of the preview, it shows a dad taking his 13-year-old son to go shopping for his drag queen outfit, and so we can look at that. That man could be in a church somewhere. So I'm not saying he is.
Oh, I saw a thing that was a drag queen leading a church service.
I don't doubt it. That's, you know, because people will say, well, that's good morals. You know, I mean, you can make anything what you would consider good morals. It's subjective. It's not objective, right? And so when we...
Because there is no absolute.
They don't look at their standard as Jesus. They look at their standard as the culture. Mm-hmm. What the culture accepts is what their standard is. And so this dad taking his son to do that, and you know he's thinking he's doing such a wonderful job raising his son, letting his son dictate what he's going to be doing with his life. And what this is grooming.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, no child chooses those things on their own. They have been exposed to it, and they have been persuaded in that way.
And you know, sadly, it's what I see a lot of is a lot of the moms that are, you know, that pushes their kids into this transgender thing. But this particular episode showed the dad, and you know what? Shame on the dads for not standing up. I mean, you know, they're in a biblical marriage. The husband is the head of the home.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that he's a dictator, but he sure can say no.
Yeah.
I mean, and he should. Yes. There's times when men, where are all the men?
Right.
The men have gone to the wayside.
Yeah.
And we have let all this stuff bubble up, and now it's too far gone. There's no way that we're going to stop what's happening here in America. Mm-hmm. What we can do is pull away and live our life for Jesus and let that go. Just see where it goes. We're going to be hated. We're going to be called transphobic, homophobic, whatever phobic it is. But it's not saying that we don't love any of these people. It's saying that we hate sin.
And if we are, if we're given an opportunity, sin, we will share the gospel and the truth with them. And we will stand on that we're not men pleasers, we're God pleasers.
Right.
So, you know, our allegiance, that's what I was thinking of earlier. That's the word that came to my mind when you were talking at the beginning of the message. And it's, you know, we're talking about surrender and the gospel and what it's our, who is our allegiance to? Is our allegiance to this culture? Is our allegiance to the people around us? Our allegiance is to God Almighty, our Creator, our Savior, our King, who guess what is coming back to judge all of this garbage that we see, because you're exactly right. We are so far gone that there's no way to rein it back in. No. And it is going to take Him coming and setting everything right.
He's going to make the judgment call, right?
Yes.
And that judgment call is not going to be good for the ones that are just moralistic people.
That's right.
Because what you consider moral is not what God considers moral.
That's right.
And when you have TV shows that are promoting grooming, pedophilia, because that's all that show is. Mm-hmm. It's promoting. Do you know how many pedophiles are going to tune into that?
Kidding.
It's like the Netflix show Cuties.
Yeah.
That whole thing with that. It's the same thing. And the whole thing with Disney. I saw a guy today that was a youth minister in one of the churches that we used to attend. And I overheard him. I said hi to him. And I overheard him talking to another guy. They're going to Disney. And they're promoting Disney. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all this crap going on with Disney, as someone that's a follower of Jesus, someone that supposedly that is
leading kids,
and here is Disney that's actually grooming kids.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yep.
That's the problem. I'm sorry to say, I do not care for youth pastors.
Yeah.
Are there any good ones out there? Very few in this day and time that are actually there for the kids and not there for themselves to be promoted to a lead pastor position at some point.
Exactly. It goes back to the fact that it's a business model.
Yes.
The American church, the Western church, it's a business model. This is what they do is a youth pastor comes in, they have a few years in the youth ministry, kind of get their feet wet with that, and then they are looking for that promotion to the associate pastor or even head pastor. We've seen it so many times. We've been behind the scenes in ministry. We know exactly how it all works, and it's a bunch of garbage, because what these youth ministries and kid ministries do is they take the responsibility away from the parents. And I'm not saying the church is at fault completely, because the parents give that responsibility over to them willingly, just like putting our kids in public school. How much indoctrination is coming through the public school system? How much is the enemy having a hold on our kids because of what they're learning 40 hours a week in school? You know, again, there is no God. It's evolution or the Big Bang. That's what they're learning in their sciences and all of that.
Gender identity
and all of this CRT, you know, that the white people are racist, and just there's so much garbage in the public school system. This is a huge burden on Will and myself, because we are now grandparents and we have raised our children through all of this. We did homeschool for a lot of years, and I will say homeschool is the best option, no doubt about it, no ifs, ands, or buts. And I hope and pray that when our grandbabies are of public school age, or school age, I'll say, that our kids never send our grandbabies that route. Because can you even imagine being an adult right now? 40 years old, 47 years old. Can you even imagine trying to go back into the public school system and navigate your way through that?
I couldn't imagine.
It literally is like a form of child abuse. Mm-hmm. It is indoctrinating these kids with so much garbage and hogwash all their years. And then do we really expect them to turn away from God? That's what they have been conditioned to do every year of their life.
Yep. And what we do with that, you know, think about it. When you send your kid to a church and they're in a youth group, the youth group is going to do everything they can to keep them in the youth group. And how much do they really learn about Jesus? Not much. They usually play games. They shoot pool. It gives them a safe place. It teaches them good morals.
Yeah.
And so the moralism is there, but the surrendered life to Jesus is really not modeled. Mm-hmm. And I must say, there are some, maybe somewhere out there, people have come up through a youth group that's serving Jesus now, and praise the Lord in that. But majority, I'm talking about majority of your youth groups out there.
Yes, y'all, please understand, when we talk about the state of the church, we understand that there may be some good church, you know, groups, there may be some good youth groups or whatever. Do you really know the whole truth of what's going on in all of these arenas? Because we know plenty of people who think that they go to a good church or that their kids go to a good youth group, and we know otherwise.
Yes.
We know background information on it. So I'm just saying, you may not have all the information, or your experience may be good in those certain places. And hey, that's fine. More power to you. But understand that what we're talking about is in general.
In general, the whole. When we look at what's happening, because think about it. If the church groups were doing what they're supposed to be doing, teaching about Jesus, giving the gospel, people surrendering their life to Christ, and they're a new creation, would we have this much problem with Generation X
and the like? Right.
We wouldn't. Would homosexuality be considered? It's normal now.
Right.
Transgenderism is normal. When you go meet any kid in one of these youth groups, the youth pastor has to be sensitive mm-hmm. to that. No, we don't have to be sensitive
that's right.
to that.
And that's we where we have failed truth. As the church.
There's no junior Holy Spirit.
Right.
There is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if he or she, and there's only two pronouns, get the Holy Spirit, then they will be changed. They will not be changed into a Christian transgender. They will be changed into a new creation.
That's right.
And so that's why I can't stand majority of what the moralistic society we live in, the moralism that's taught. Because you can go to any religion, I mean, seriously, Mormons are a cult. But when you meet them, they're nice. You know, they'll do anything for you. They will come and paint your house or, you know, do whatever they can to get you to come to them. They have really good morals. They got good family values. But that doesn't make them right with Jesus.
Amen.
Because they're a cult. And what they believe, what you believe matters.
That's right.
True, proper doctrine matters. Yeah. And, look at Catholics. You can look at a Catholic can have good morals. They can fight against, the abortion thing. But what you believe actually matters. And so, and I'm not just picking on Catholics or Mormons. It's any, you can be a Buddhist. I was telling a guy the other day, one of my friends that comes to our group, he rides around with me and helps me sometimes at work. And he's a great guy. And we were having discussion. And I said, you know, the sad thing about morality, just having good morals, because having good morals brings you really away from Jesus. Because then you really don't need Jesus if you're doing good deeds.
Well, yeah, if you're a good person,
you're a good
person, that you are, then...
And you're going to make it to heaven on your good deeds.
And we know that's wrong.
And that's wrong. And so I said, I brought up Robert Downey Jr. And you know who Robert Downey Jr. is? He's Iron Man. But I grew up with Robert Downey Jr. in the 90s, 80s and 90s. And he actually went to jail for drugs. And while he was in jail, he got clean. When he got out, he got into more of a Buddhist mindset. And he started taking Kung Fu. Really the same Kung Fu that Bruce Lee learned in the beginning. He's really good at it. And that changed his life. And he has been clean ever since. In fact, whenever that's how he got chosen to be Iron Man. And, you know, he's a great actor. And he is now a really good guy. I think he's always been a really good guy. But he got in trouble and he come out of it. And now his life is on track. He's married. Does that make him right with God? No. He has morals and he does good deeds. He gives to charity. But that does not make him right with Jesus. What
Right.
makes us right with Jesus is surrendering our life to Jesus.
Right.
Not having good morals. Because anybody, I have another friend that, we used to do Celebrate Recovery. Me and Angela did. We were leaders. Well, Celebrate Recovery is a Christian version of similar to AA or NA. And I have a friend that's in AA. And when you look at AA, you can change and not be an alcoholic in AA and not ever come close to meeting Jesus.
Right.
So morality can actually be a dangerous thing when you think you're doing it yourself and you actually are moving and getting better. Then you don't need to surrender to Christ.
That's right. And there's so many people that go through the rituals of checking off their box of just going to church and thinking that that has somehow earned them right standing with God. Yeah, they hear about Jesus. They've heard the gospel. You know, they can agree that they're a sinner. They can, you know, even use the lingo because they've heard it long enough. You know, we live in such a day and age where the church has influenced the culture, but not in the way that I was talking about earlier that it should have. The culture has infiltrated the church, and the church has bowed the knee to the culture. So the church wants the culture to come into the church because they say they want them to get saved, get plugged in, you know, this and that. But it stops short. It stops there. You bring them in, you preach a message to them week after week, year after year, that you know, that they need to be saved and this and that. And it's just, it's, our hearts have been so hardened. And you have so many people that are having to be, you know, fed, I guess you would say. There's not really any feeding. It's just continuing to be spiritual milk. They never grow. Yeah, it's bubblegum. They're just chewing on it for a while. It never, they never grow to fullness and maturity and all of the things that we are called as Christ followers to grow into. And so we are not a church of power and might and, you know, seeing miraculous things in the world happen around us because we have such a strong influence on them. Instead, they have such a strong influence on us that things happen like what I just said a little bit ago, that the drag queen is leading the church service. What in the heck? Are we in the Twilight Zone?
I think so.
I mean,
but that's normal, and there's people that are actually going to that church.
Yeah.
You know, if you call it
supporting
that. I don't call it a church. But they go to that place, and they want to hear that. And, I mean, seriously, it's like, I mean, when you really sit back and you look at everything, and you look, I mean, this is a question that each one of us, because the Bible tells us to examine ourselves, right? Daily, to see
if we're in the faith.
Because you can't examine yourselves, you know, ahead of time, or, you know, we are living day to day. If you like it or not, you can have a retirement set. You're not guaranteed that retirement.
You may die before you even get
right.
to it.
So the only thing you're guaranteed is the moment you're living in.
That's right.
And so when we examine ourselves, this is something that each person can do. And I challenge you to do this. Look at your life and see where you're at. If you died today, would people remember you for your faith or remember you for what you have done in the culture? Because if they remember you by your faith, that means you're living your faith out. I'm not saying living, do they remember you that you talked about church? Jesus never said go talk about church. He says go talk about the gospel. Go talk about Him.
Yeah.
And so if you can honestly say, if you died today, would people be talking about how, you know, that you dedicated your life to give it, showing others what Jesus looked like? Are you, and you're not meaning that you're going to be perfect, but is your life dedicated to Christ?
Yeah.
Or was it dedicated to the world, your job, the culture? Are you like pro abortion and you are like right now mad at us and you're mad at the world because you want to kill a baby? Or were you against it and you're pointing people to the gospel? Not just saying, oh, let's just not keep the babies alive. No, we need to go past that point. We need to save the babies and save the souls.
That's right. That's exactly right. And two things came to my mind when you were just talking. Hopefully I'll remember both of them when I say this. The first one was the movie Time Changer.
Yes,
I mean, through this whole message, I was thinking about Time Changer. And in a second, I'll let Will tell y'all about this movie because it's just awesome. It's an older movie made in the 90s, but it's such a beautiful picture of exactly what we're talking about in this podcast. So I highly encourage y'all. There's so many outlets out there. Go look it up, Time Changer. Go watch it. Find it. If you got to pay for it to rent it. It's worth it. Very good. What was the other thing? I knew it.
I
lost it. Dadgummit.
I'll tell about Time Changer. You'll be thinking about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Time Changer is it's an older movie. It's a Christian movie. And the movie is based back in the late 1800s. And it was there are several men that are in this seminary. And one of the men in the seminary was writing, he wrote a paper on what morality is. And one of the other seminary professors, they all were going to try to vote to see if they were going to get this paper printed out and actually make it into a book. But they had to have all the same vote. Well, one of the men decided not to vote for it. And the man that wrote it was upset with him and asked him why. And he says, well, he goes, I don't think we should talk about it right now. Let's talk about it when we're by ourselves. And he goes, no, you know, they're in the group of people. And he says, no, go ahead and talk about it. I think it's all right. I trust everyone here. And he goes, okay. He goes, what you wrote in your paper you're appointing people to morality without Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that man got mad at him, and he said, you know, he goes, how can you say that? Because in his mind, morality was that what ultimate morality is the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
But he just assumes that everybody would know this. And he says, no, he goes, come to my house and I'll tell you why. In fact, I'll show you why you're wrong.
That's exactly right. Ultimate morality can only come through Jesus, through surrender to him, through the gospel message, and just giving him your life, allowing him to change your heart and change your mind. So we had a little bit of a technical difficulty that cut us off, but we trust that that was a good place for us to leave it. So that will wrap it up for this podcast episode. We hope that y'all have a good rest of your week until we come back for another podcast. And y'all go share Jesus with someone. Bye, y'all.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.